You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Stowe, still waiting word on any update on Klay Thompson. From what I'm told, Steve Kerr, and I do believe the general manager of the Golden State Warriors, Bob Myers, they're flying or have flown to Los Angeles to visit Klay Thompson in the hospital. We don't know if it's an Achilles, but it certainly felt like that last night. And it's 90 minutes before you're going to make your pick, the second pick overall. And I don't know if it was going to change what they were going to do, but we had Mark Stein on, who covers the NBA for the New York Times last hour, and he said that they gave pause for just a moment there, but then they stayed with the player that they wanted, and they had James Wiseman as the best player on the board, number one overall. Anthony Edwards goes number one. That's 11 consecutive straight number one overall picks who were one and done college basketball players. The last top pick to play more than one college basketball season? Anybody want to guess? 2009. McLovin?
That is a real dry spell. I have not the slightest
idea. He's still in the game, not a major factor in the game anymore. Health issues. His legacy is attached to a car.
Wait. Oh, Blake Griffin.
Yes, Blake Griffin.
Oh, and he played 2 years, right?
2 years.
It's not like he was there.
Well,
that
I know,
long.
But he played two. He could have come out after one.
Is
he,
Duncan the last 4 year guy
to go number one overall?
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, I'm going to guess so. 877-3DP show email address dp at danpatrick.com. I don't know how we stumbled onto this topic, but we haven't left the topic when we're in commercial breaks here. Cardinals, Seahawks, and the Kyler Murray topic of, if you're Kyler Murray, would you try to play baseball? Now, he was asked about this yesterday. He was on CBS Sports with Tiki and Turney, and he just asked if he missed baseball, and Kyler Murray had this to say.
I miss baseball for sure. You know, just being in the box, being out there with the guys, competing. You know, I know I'm where I'm supposed to be at. I don't think, you know, if I would have chose baseball, I think I would have been missing the hell out of football a lot more. Mm-hmm. But now for me, I wish I could do both. I definitely feel like I could. You know, I never say never, but as of right now, man, I'm having fun doing what I love.
That's the right decision that, yeah, it could happen, but, you know, he's got other things to worry about right now. This is his second year in the NFL, and he's having a wonderful season. And, you know, you don't want to have somebody go, you know, I still love baseball. I still miss it. Still want to play. Remember Anthony Edwards, the number one pick overall, in an interview with ESPN said, man, I'd love to be drafted by the NFL. I mean, I really love football. And then people weren't sure. Oh, does he really love basketball? Well, Minnesota still took him number one overall. But Kyler Murray, can he play? I don't think he can play regular season baseball, but you go to spring training, just like Russell Wilson did. And maybe you spend a week there. Maybe you get, you know, 10, 15 at-bats there. Have a little bit of fun out there. But it always helps when you've accomplished something, when you want to try to accomplish something else. You can't go, hey, man, I've had a bad year. I'd like to go play some baseball. Russ won a Super Bowl and then said, you know, I'd like to go to the Rangers training camp and maybe play a little second base. Nobody had a problem with that. Yeah, McLovin.
Kyler Murray has been running the same offense since he was in seventh grade. He doesn't need training camp. He's fine. And he's just a rare, no one's ever been drafted that high in two sports. He's a freak in every way. Like, it's, even Bo wasn't like a top 10 pick in baseball.
Yeah, but people don't, it's the perception of, are you giving everything to play the position of quarterback? It, you know, how much time are you devoting? Oh, you got to make up your mind. You want to be an NFL quarterback? I'm just saying this is how the media will approach this. And then he has to answer these questions. So if he said to me, which he probably wouldn't since we didn't have much to talk about last time we crossed paths, but I would say, understand, the media is going to be questioning your commitment to the NFL. And if you have a good response to that, or you don't care about that, then fine. But if you start to slip up, you have a slow start next season, then they're going to be saying, what were you doing in the offseason? Why were you playing baseball in the offseason? Not that it would impact his play, in my opinion. I just think when you've accomplished something and then you say, I want to do something else, then I think you're going to face far less criticism. Yeah, Paul.
I think what McLovin is saying is he could do it. He has the ability to obviously play both.
Yeah.
I mean, he would get a monster contract if he dropped football. But from a actual standpoint, he's the quarterback. He's not a backup linebacker. And can you imagine if he went and played for the Diamondbacks, you know, for a season? Actually, let's say he was 27. Well, the Arizona Cardinals wouldn't allow that because if he played well and they made it deep into the playoffs, he wouldn't be showing up to their facility till November 5th or 6th, and they'd be paying him $45 million a year.
Yeah. Yeah, McLovin.
But didn't Bo leave the Royals? He just did part of a season. He was even an all-star. I have no idea.
But he's a running back. I mean, the quarterback is different. The quarterback can't go, hey, I'll be back in week 7.
Right, but I'm saying Bo just ditched the Royals midseason. I'm thinking like Kyler could. Paulie's saying the baseball team wouldn't let him go. I think the baseball team,
Think that's correct. I think if the Royals went into the playoffs with Bo Jackson, he would have stayed because I know he joined the Raiders midseason. I don't think he would have been allowed to leave like September 22nd.
I don't think this is happening anytime soon. I don't think it, you know, maybe, I'm not surprised he says he misses baseball. I mean, he was going to be a baseball player. And then I think he surprised everybody, including himself, with that season at Oklahoma and then realized their NFL teams looking at what's happened with some of these other quarterbacks, including Russell Wilson and then Cliff Kingsbury. If Cliff Kingsbury doesn't go to Arizona, I don't know if Kyler Murray goes, hey, I'm going to be the number one overall pick. I don't know where he would have been selected. But Cliff Kingsbury said, that's the guy I want, even though we just spent a first round pick on Josh Rosen. And therefore, the decision was easier. He was walking in and going to start. If he played baseball, he wouldn't be up in the major leagues for a couple of years. It's really rare for a draft pick to all of a sudden walk in and then go to a major league team. He'd be in the minor leagues, might be double A, might be triple A. Football played right away. By the way, speaking of baseball, Robinson Cano has been suspended for the entire season for performance-enhancing drugs. This is the second time that's happened in the last 3 years. When somebody says, boy, is it worth the risk of cheating? Yeah. How about career salary for Robinson Cano, don't you know, Paulie?
I'm going to need a minute and a calculator.
Yeah.
Oh, Robbie Cano.
Yeah.
Do I dock him the $24 million for this season?
Yeah, because he won't make that.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Time to play career salary, those who cheat, Robinson Cano.
Theme show, the good button, man. 2006, he made $381,000 for the Yankees.
Mm.
He found the right guy to hook him up, and a couple years later, he's making $24 million at age 31 with the Seattle Mariners.
Mm.
Career salary, he's got another 50 coming from the Mets, even missing this year.
Okay.
Current, not future salary. So what he's made so far, what he's got in the bank.
$223 million.
I'm going to give that to you, $214 million.
Okay.
That's nice.
All right. Yeah. So when somebody says, boy, is it worth the risk of getting caught? Yeah. So when Robinson Cano goes back home to wherever, the Dominican Republic, do you think anybody's going, hey, you cheated? He's probably going, look at what I got here. Look at what I got. I cheated and got this.
So you don't want to go on my yacht with me and have a party.
Yeah. Oh, you're not coming over to the Christmas party? Okay. I was giving out Ferraris to everybody. Oh, you don't want to come over?
The Christmas party?
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
Barry Bonds made more in the last 5 seasons of his career than he did in the first 15.
Yes. Yeah. Was it worth it?
Yep.
Hey, you're not going to the Hall of Fame, Barry. Yeah. It's okay. Robinson Cano. It wasn't exactly a secret that Robinson Cano, don't you know? Remember when he went to Seattle and I go, we'll never hear from him again. Well, we have, and it's because he cheated and he sits down for an entire season. I can't let you back in. All right? And Robinson Cano probably has a borderline Hall of Fame career. Does that sound about right, McLovin?
I don't know. Didn't he take a big break? I have no idea. Has he been good in Seattle?
I think he took a break to count his money.
Wasn't he suspended for a year? And I don't know.
Yes, Paulie.
Robinson Cano's got about 8 All-Star appearances. He had a run from age 26 to 31 where he was a top 5 MVP vote getter 5 times. He had a nice 6-year run. Real nice. Not Hall of Fame worthy.
Okay. I didn't know if he had accumulated any kind of numbers. When he disappeared in Seattle, I didn't know if he put up decent numbers. But when he was with the Yankees, he put up some pretty good numbers and they were winning.
You have a point, though. If he would have stayed with the Yankees and continued, you'd have more of a chance because you get more notoriety.
Wasn't he with Jay-Z? Wasn't that with Roc Nation? And then he went to the Mariners? And I knew he was getting paid, but I said at the time, you're getting paid and you're going to disappear from baseball for 5 years. Yeah, McLovin.
He has 334 career home runs. That's a pretty good for a second baseman.
How many hits does he? Does he have over 2,000? Does he got?
Let's see.
I thought he had like
2,624.
Yes. Oof. So 3 more seasons, he's a Hall of Famer.
As if hitting all those home runs as a second baseman isn't a red flag enough.
Wait, you have how many home runs as a second baseman? 300.
His whole career screamed steroids.
Yeah.
Ryan Sandberg wasn't hitting that many home runs.
No, no.
And he was great.
No, no.
He was drinking milk.
That's where you don't say it too loudly. That you, how many home runs do you, how many home runs do you have? 300.
Yeah, what? I don't know. I don't keep track
I don't know.
Of that
It feels
stuff.
Like around 150, something like
that.
Like
Chuck Knobloch said, I don't know how many home runs a guy.
2,600 hits. If he played this season and 2 more seasons, he's probably knocking on the door with maybe 3,000 hits. Yes, McLovin.
Don't make me say it, though. We don't count hits anymore in the sabermetric era.
In the Hall of Fame voting.
No, there are a lot of
how many guys with 3,000 hits are not in the Hall of Fame? Aside from Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson.
That's it. Ethan, if you're listening, probably not that many. But
I don't think there's anybody with 3,000 hits who's not in the Hall of Fame. Now, you have guys who have 500 home runs who might not be in the Hall of Fame. And you know, the drug that he took, Stanozolol, that's heavy duty, right?
Well, he's not going to get the cheap stuff. Guy's got $215 million.
I know, but don't you, haven't they gotten it down to a science?
Apparently, he did get the cheap stuff. He keeps getting caught.
Yeah.
Albert Pujols has 3,200 hits. Adrian Beltre has almost 3,200 hits. I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame, is he? Or did he get it?
Well, he's not eligible.
Not eligible.
No, but I think he's supposed to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. He was a great third baseman.
A-Rod's got 3,100 hits.
Yeah, he's probably not getting in. He shouldn't get in.
It's funny that he's not getting in, but...
Yes, Todd.
Systemic stanozolol is used in horses as an anabolic and or androgenic steroid and doping agent.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
I'm trying to think. Did you use steroids in high school, Todd?
I did not.
Okay, I'm just curious. Were you offered them?
No, but I saw them like, you know, in the bathroom, like at a gym in Brooklyn that I was at. And, you know, you hear people talking about that. And it's always flattering if someone accuses you of being on some. But I was too timid to like even consider like taking a pill or injecting something. I don't touch anything.
Yeah, see.
I totally would have.
Really?
If I could have gotten steroids in high school, heck yeah. Heck yeah.
To play sports or to be just in great shape?
Probably both.
Yeah. Well, what happens is you have these kids in the minor leagues and they see somebody who's doing well or they know somebody who's using. Therefore, you have that crossroads where you go, do I do it naturally or do I do what they're doing? But I thought they had it down to a science. Did Rafael Palmeiro get busted for this same steroid? Did Ben Johnson at the Olympics with Carl Lewis in Seoul, South Korea, get busted for this drug? Because that's been around for a long, long time. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, Rafael Palmeiro was Stanozolol as well.
Did
Stanozolol, sorry. I'll check on it was Johnson, you said?
Did Ben Johnson, was he using that when he lost the 100-meter gold medal to Carl Lewis? Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, another Stanozolol.
Damn.
But did they invent new things? Don't
yes,
we always hear that?
Yes,
undetectable things?
Yes. Yes.
Like when your guy comes to you and he's just like, well, I got this Stanozolol or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, well, I don't know. Everybody keeps getting caught on that.
Yeah.
Got anything else?
But they created. Okay. So a friend of mine, his daughter was going out with somebody in the Indians organization and he was in the minors. And I saw him and we started talking and then I just sort of said, how are guys getting around the drug testing? Because it's far more stringent in the minor leagues. And he said, we got to shake. I said, what do you mean you got to shake? He said, well, we can take, you know, HGH or we can take steroids. And there's a shake that we take prior to testing and we don't test positive. So that's somebody in the minor leagues who doesn't have anywhere near the money of Robinson Cano, and you haven't found a masking agent for that? It's a drug you give horses. Yeah.
It's crazy when you're like run down the Wikipedia page for Stanozolol drug bus.
Yeah.
And that it starts with Ben Johnson, 1988.
Yeah.
It kind of jumps around all over the place, but then you just have to keep scrolling down and all of the names that are in here of people who got caught using it. And then you finally get down to 2020, Robinson Cano, a New York Mets second baseman. It's like, dude, it's been how many years now? It's been 32 years of people getting caught using this.
And I remember Ben Johnson and those who were there at the Olympics said that Ben's eyes were yellow. So that his kidneys were backing up. Jaundice, I guess, is what it would be. But his eyes were yellow. And plus, you can tell these guys may improve their time by just a fraction. If you go back and watch Ben Johnson, he blew away Carl Lewis. That doesn't happen in that sport where you go, oh my God, wait, what just happened here? And that's when the sprinters know. I talked to Carl Lewis about this a few years ago when I did an interview with him. And I said, how do you know? And he said, you can only improve by a certain amount over a certain amount of time. But when you improve, like, hey, have you seen Ben run? No, he's really fast now. How did he get really fast? Oh, he must have improved his starts. Yes, Paul.
Also, the sound when he was running was this.
Oh, he sounded like a horse.
Well done.
Okay.
That was well
All right.
done, Paul.
Wow.
I think I heard something.
Yes, McLovin.
It's going back to his, what was it, step dancing in the college days right there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never understood that. You were a step dancer.
No, I wasn't a step dancer like for a living.
No, but in college, you were a step
dancer. For some extra cash?
Yeah, to pick up some scratch. But when I was at Southern Illinois University, the African-American fraternities and sororities would have step contests. And we got invited to go, and it was fantastic. It's one of the most entertaining things I've ever seen. And a couple of the guys I knew in one of the fraternities said, hey, we'll come over and show you guys how to do it. And they came over and they said, we're going to have to come over a couple more nights because you guys are going to need some work. And they taught us a very basic step. And we went to the step contest and nobody knew that a white fraternity was going to come walking out. And we came walking out and it was a pretty wild reaction. But they gave us a hall pass, if you know what I mean, with the applause.
Isn't that the cheerleading movie?
Bring It On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's already been brought.
We brought it on to something.
Do you think that they're going to make a movie of the white step dancing class at Southern Illinois?
Yeah, it was an intense moment. I'll tell you, when you're sitting in that back room watching a group of people who are drastically more talented than you and at something, and I've done this a lot in my life, we're like, what are we doing here? They're going to not like us at all.
What if I told you?
The 30 for 30 on the white step dancing team at Southern Illinois.
Holy pap, C student, untalented.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
Channing Tatum already attached to the project. I love attached to the project.
Well, you can't get Jason Statham, who Paulie's been told that he looks like. Yeah, it'd be hard to have him come into a college and, you know, be a step dancer.
Yeah, step dancer pulls out an automatic rifle and starts gutting down bad guys. Wouldn't work.
Yeah, Paul.
On our way out, this is the true best part of the story. As we're leaving, and the crowd's giving us like a standing ovation. I'm telling you, well, they were being very nice.
Were they standing at the time?
I think they had
Therefore,
to. There was no
it was
seats.
An ovation.
Yeah, there was no seat. We had this guy named John Hagenson, and he jumped and did the splits as he was leaving in a pair of shorts. And the place went pretty wild.
Yeah.
There's video somewhere. One of my friends has video of it. I'll try to obtain.
Well, we're going to need that for the 30 for 30.
Yeah. 5 minutes.
That's great, though. What if I told you? We'll take a break. We'll check in with the Golden State Warriors. It has not been good news over the last 24 hours. Hopefully, there's some good news for Golden State. That's maybe it's not an Achilles tear with Klay Thompson, but it certainly feels that way. And did they consider altering their draft strategy when they found out that Klay Thompson could be done for the year? 21 after the hour. We're back after this. I finally brought the Built Bars out and I put them in the mailroom area because the Danettes were saying, oh, you're talking about Built Bar on the air. 130 calories, guilt-free, 20 grams of protein, 4 net carbs, guilt-free. They got 18 different flavors there, coconut, almond. They got the mint brownie. So I brought them out and put them in there. Yes, Eden?
I had a salted caramel one.
Oh, I noticed.
And it was good.
Yeah. No, but I wanted you to try it just so you know. You know, this is...
But see, it sounds like you're upset, though. I'm like, oh, I tried one. You go, yeah, I noticed. Like, you want us to try them, but you don't really want us to try them.
You're right.
Yeah, I noticed.
I know. I wanted you to go to the website and buy your own.
Fair.
Now I will.
But
now I've sampled
but
them.
But I brought them out, and then I could hear the Danettes going, yeah, about time. Yeah, about time.
But you hoard stuff sometimes.
Yes, I do. I do. I'm a hoarder. Yes, Paulie.
So you hooked us. You gave us the first one on spec.
Yes. Now you got to go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code DP, you get 20% off your order. Promo code DP at BuiltBar.com. You're welcome. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. The big news that overshadowed the draft last night was Klay Thompson getting an injury in a workout with other NBA players. He'll undergo an MRI today. And Bob Myers is the general manager of the Warriors. Steve Kerr, of course, the head coach. They're headed to Los Angeles. They may already be there. They want to be there for Thompson when he gets his MRI. Nick Friedel covers the Warriors for ESPN.com, and he joins us now. What are the early reports, Nick?
Dan, the Warriors don't feel great about everything. The fear is that it's an Achilles injury. But I can tell you, even a few hours ago, they were still holding out hope that it wasn't as severe initially as it appeared to be. So while they're bracing for the worst, certainly, there is still some optimism. And Myers hinted at that during his conference call. He said, look, it doesn't look great, but we're just hoping for the best, and we'll see what happens when the tests come.
How was he progressing from his knee surgery from a year ago?
He looked great by all accounts. Steve Kerr, Bob Myers, they've all said the same thing in recent weeks. They said that this guy is looking like the player that we had seen before. Now, it's worth noting, Dan, that when the Warriors had their team bubble back in late September, Thompson still wasn't cleared for scrimmages. The Warriors were being very cautious because, remember, at that point, it was still the NBA season could start in January, February. Nobody really knew for sure, but he had started to ramp it up the last few weeks. They had seen him. They said he looked like the old Klay, and it was just a gut punch for everybody within that organization.
Did their draft strategy change at all or come close to changing at all last night because of this injury?
Not one bit. Wiseman was the guy that they targeted all along. He was the number one pick on their board. They knew that he would fill an immediate hole in the middle, being able to defend, pairing him with Draymond, being able to learn from Draymond every day. They liked him all along, and Myers said flatly, it didn't change one thing because if Wiseman was there, we were going to take him.
It's obviously a big loss to lose Klay Thompson, and I don't know who fills that void. Can anybody fill that void? Do they change different? You know, they play differently, the style this year with Golden State.
I think it's too ingrained. I don't think anything can change from a system standpoint. And, Dan, certainly nobody's filling Klay's role. He did so many things for them, and we know about the jumpers, but defensively, Steve Kerr loved the fact that you could just throw him out there on the floor and he would take care of whoever the best wing defender was on the other team. So he trusted him immensely. But I'd say on top of who fills the wing roles, and that's where the Warriors were short already, it was kind of only Klay and Andrew Wiggins. The part that's really hurting internally right now is the emotional side, because this is a guy, even with Steph and Draymond and KD when he was there, Klay was the most beloved. Klay was the guy that really set the tone behind the scenes, and Kerr's talked about it a lot over the years. Klay is an egoless player. He can just kind of fit in and do whatever they needed, and to see that he may be down again for a while is really hurting everybody on that team right now.
Yeah, I remember Steve Kerr telling me years ago, he just said, Klay is, there's no maintenance to him. Like, I don't have to worry about anything. It's not touches or being a star or points or anything. He said he is maintenance free. And that's rare.
It's very rare. And he doesn't want any part of the spotlight. And Dan, in all the years I've covered the league, I certainly have never seen anybody like Klay, because he goes and hits all these shots and is a really solid defender when he wants to be. And then he just kind of goes home, and he's content just kind of hanging out with his dog and doing his own thing. He doesn't like talking to the media, although he's one of the best quotes on the team. And that resonates for a lot of people. And it's not to say that they don't love Steph and Draymond in their own way, because they absolutely do. It's just that Klay marches to his own beat, and it's so different than most stars in the league, and that's what made him unique. So on top of the fact that consistently he was out there game after game putting in the work and putting up the numbers, it was the tone he set with all the other star power on that roster that Kerr and Myers love so much.
You have an owner who seems like he's pretty aggressive to get fans in the stands this upcoming season. What is the game plan?
He's going to try, Joe Lacob is, as much as he can to get people in there. Then the reality, though, is it's going to be tough, because San Francisco is starting to shut more again after a recent surge in COVID cases. So Lacob is still going to push the envelope. The Warriors are behind him. He's going to put his own money in to do it. It's just going to be so difficult. And I can just tell you, personally, I was living 10 minutes away from the arena. To see that thing empty day after day is a crusher for that team and for ownership, because that was supposed to be the cash cow of cash cows. Yeah. And it's not to say it still can't be over time, but it's empty. It was supposed to be filled every day with concerts and other events all the time on top of all the games. And now to see that the way it is, that's why you're seeing from Lacob and from the Warriors this push so hard to get some people back in there and start to get the revenue streams going again.
Is there a time frame for this MRI today with Klay Thompson?
I would expect the news in the next couple hours. I think everybody was expecting it to be in the morning. And you mentioned Kerr, and some of the trainers are headed down there, and it may be there in the moment. But I would expect something here very soon.
Nick, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Dan, I've listened to you my whole life. I really appreciate you guys having me.
Thank you, Nick. That's Nick Friedell. He covers the Warriors for ESPN.com. Well, they stayed with their big board, and they wanted James Wiseman, and you got a talented big man out of Memphis. We don't know much about him. I didn't know if they would alter their plans and draft LaMelo Ball just because you could have Steph play the two guard. But, you know, I respect them for what they're doing and the system that they have, and Steve Kerr probably said, you know, Klay will eventually come back. I don't know that, you know, when you have an Achilles, I never had, of all my injuries, I never had an Achilles injury, knock on wood. But I don't know the varying degrees of an Achilles injury. Are there degrees? Because it always felt like somebody popped their Achilles. It wasn't, this is a strain or they partial tear. It always felt like the Achilles, when it goes, it goes. And you know when it goes. That's what was, you know, very curious for me. And maybe Klay Thompson knows this. Maybe they're just making sure they go through all the procedures and maybe get a second opinion on this. But if your Achilles has popped, you know it. You know, Kobe knew it when it happened to him. I was on a basketball floor at the NBA or college basketball Final Four playing a pickup game in Denver many, many, many years ago. And there was a guy who had both Achilles pop on the same play. And he, of course, was trying to cover me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I break ankles, I pop Achilles. But, you know, He went down as if he was shot. Yeah, Paul.
If you were the Warriors and you found out the worst news that Klay Thompson is out for the season, would you scrap this season and just develop James Wiseman, or would you trade James Wiseman, the rookie, for a guard that could help you compete this season? For instance, let's say, hypothetical, you called up the Washington Wizards and said Bradley Beal, who wants out, or I've heard wants out, and Wizards aren't going anywhere as is. A total hypothetical, but and also if you're another team, would you try to go after the Warriors and say, hey, you need to compete, here's what we got?
There are very few players that, I mean, Bradley Beal, I think, would be great for Golden State. I just don't, it feels like the Wizards aren't going to give up on Bradley Beal. They want to give up on John Wall, but they don't want to give up on Bradley Beal. But if I'm Golden State, I could get Bradley Beal, what's he costing me? But I would certainly entertain that idea. Because I thought Golden State was going to compete for a championship. Having the second pick, depending on who they were getting, and you had Steph and Clay, you had Draymond, Wiggins, it felt like, okay, you got a pretty good nucleus here. You can compete with anybody in the West, but not the case. I mean, it stayed with me all last night. Like, I'm sort of watching the draft, but I'm not, because I just can't help but think of Klay Thompson. When you come back from an injury and you can't wait to get back and you're testing your knee, and then you go out and you play pickup games, and then you're ready, and then in training camp, and then I'm going to get back and I'm going to start playing. And then all of a sudden that happens. I mean, it's not fair. But here's Golden State again. And I think Steph, well, Clay is 30 or 31. And that's where, if I'm Golden State, then you have to go, okay, we might not be a great team this year. We can be a competitive team this year, but we just have to get ready for Clay to come back. And if it's a true Achilles, you know, it can be more than a year. And now I can't rush him back at all after having the knee surgery. And then if you have Achilles surgery, I got to be extra, extra cautious with him. And then what kind of player is he? You know, the mental game that you play to get back is often overlooked with these athletes. Physically, you go through everything. It's mentally. When you make a cut, when you go up, when you take a jumper, is somebody trying to slide their foot underneath you? When you're going to the hoop, are you worried about somebody? Those are the things that play mind games with you. And that'll be something, that's another extra hurdle for him to overcome. Ben in Pennsylvania. Hi, Ben. That doesn't sound good, Ben. Jimmy in Chicago. Clay will be 31 in February. Thank you, Todd. Hey, Jimmy.
Morning, Dan.
Hey, bud.
I was actually pretty surprised that Charlotte took LaMelo last night, just because of the LeVar Ball Jordan situation. I'm just kind of picturing like Jordan in a skybox during a game, and like LeVar is trying to get in there, trying to start a conversation or yelling at him at the bench, maybe from the stands. But I wanted to comment. I got my calendar a couple days ago. Thank you very much for that. I won't give anything away, but I will say Penny is the MVP. And as far as most squeamish, it's a tie between Fritzy and McLovin. I think you know which two I'm talking about.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yes.
I won't give away anything, but I'll say one word: skin. Thank you, Jimmy.
There is some skin with McLovin and Fritzy with one of their months on the calendar. I didn't want to give anything away. I hope you trust us that you know the calendar is really entertaining. I'll say this again, due to COVID, my staff is not going to be as large during the holiday season. Don't send calendars back to be signed. In the immortal words of Ringo Starr, peace and love, I can't do it, okay? We won't have the people here. I don't want you to miss out on the calendars, and they will not be signed if you send them back, because I won't have the people here, okay? We did have some that we made available, 250 of the calendars that we charged extra for that we signed and then we've sent out. But that was all we were going to sign this year. Now, if we have to do more next year, I promise we'll do it. I just want to give you a heads up. I don't want somebody to be disappointed with this, okay? So, Jonathan in Pennsylvania. Hey, Jonathan, what's on your mind?
Hey, DP. I got two questions. One, I've been listening to your show for years, and on Monday, we do the best of the worst of the weekend, and Todd and Paulie and Seton does, and McLovin does the best of the worst. But I never hear you do your best of the worst of the weekend. And two, question is how hard is for you guys not to bring out a curse word? Like the one time Paulie asked Kevin Costner about the P, and then he cursed. And then you say, hey, you can't say that. You can't say that. So I wonder, the question is, how hard for you guys to not curse on the air? Like, does it ever slip out? Or
no. That's my question. And the reason why I don't give best, worst of the weekend when the Danettes do is I basically have 3 hours to give you my best and worst that I saw. I comment on their best and worst of the weekend. And as far as language, colorful language, we've had some. But you sort of police yourself. You know what you can say, not say. And usually when you do curse, you're in a free moment there, or the environment that sort of calls for it, that you can be saying those kind of things. You know, we know what we're doing, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act. We've been caught. I mean, Kevin Costner, he's just coming on the show. He has no idea. You know, he doesn't know if this is network TV, cable, whatever it is. He's just blasting away. Yeah, Paulie.
I also think that all of us worked in radio as young people right out of college, and you were, the fear of God is put into you about swearing on the air when you're 22, 23, 24, and nobody wants to lose their job. And I think that fear hits you early by your program director or your boss, and it just stays with you.
Yeah, the Costner moment, that's just Costner getting out of his element, and, you know, he's coming in to promote something. Yellowstone, I think. By the way, Yellowstone season 3 coming up November 22nd on Peacock. Here's the audio of the... Now, let me come back. Let me come back, take a break, and then we'll come back. And the great Kevin Costner, where he let one slip. This might be, of all the swear words in the history of this show, which is, what, going on 13, 14 years? This one's right up there. We'll have that for you coming up. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Las Vegas Raiders put 7 more players on the COVID-19 list ahead of the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. That brings the total to 11, 4 days before the Raiders are scheduled to host the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, you got a little bit of sensitivity. These are rivals, bitter rivals for many, many, many decades. And then the report came out that when the Raiders beat Kansas City in Kansas City, the bus driver took a victory lap around the stadium. And some of the Chiefs got wind of this. Now they really want to beat the Raiders. They didn't want to really beat the Raiders before, but now you did a victory lap. Now we really want to beat you. The Maryland head coach, Mike Locksley, test positive as Michigan State and Maryland canceled over COVID-19. It will be declared no contest. Man. Yes, Paulie.
How sad is it that Maryland's upset that they're not getting a chance to beat Michigan State?
I know.
Usually be Michigan State's like, we're missing out an easy win on against Maryland.
Yeah, but Maryland had to cancel last week against Ohio State. 8 players tested positive during the previous 7 days. These teams are just limping towards Thanksgiving, hoping to get to Thanksgiving, and then the students are gone from campus. That's, you know, especially in the Big Ten and Pac-12, you're just hoping that's the case, certainly with the ACC, SEC, and Big 12. But those schools can't afford to miss any of these games because those games aren't postponed. They're canceled. All right, let me go back to Kevin Costner. The great actor was on the program the second time he joined us in studio. And there was a little back and forth with Paulie. And I think Kevin Costner may have overreacted just a little bit.
I watched Field of Dreams just again the other day. Everyone loves that movie. It's got a lot of legs. It's going to be around forever. But I was wondering, when you're getting pitched Field of Dreams, when they're pitching you, you're at your peak of stardom. Do you ever think this could be really silly?
What do you think, I peaked? What are you talking about?
No, but like you were...
No, we can't do that. We can't. No offense.
I mean,
okay, Paulie, you can't say that, and you can't say that.
Did you see what he said to me?
He said you peaked.
Yeah, you said you peaked.
You misquoted me.
You were okay.
Wait, what did you say?
You said you were. Oh.
So okay.
Don't you push me down?
Never, yeah. Mr. Coster. But did you ever think when you got pitched the idea for Field of Dreams, this could be really silly? It turned out fantastic.
I can tell you exactly where I was when I read that movie. Dan and I were talking about it before we started the role, and I apologize for humiliating you.
He just got the same treatment as that fan.
That's Billy Kitchen. You suck, Paulie. You suck, Billy Chappell. That's Billy Chappell. Yeah.
I apologize to the audience too. You can use that word if you just use it sparingly, and it's just like a sword.
I'm aware.
All right, so he said it, Kevin F. Costner, forever known as Kevin F. and Costner. But I think he heard something, and he didn't hear exactly what you said, and then he reacted accordingly.
Understandable.
By the way, this Thanksgiving, the Duttons are back. Yellowstone Season 3 starring Kevin Costner comes to Peacock exclusively November 22nd. You better start streaming Seasons 1 and 2 now to get up to speed on Season 3.
There's F-bombs in that, too, by the way.
Yes, there are. Yes, there are. What do you have, Seton?
Oh, I have something that we're very proud of, actually.
Oh, that's rare.
You know how for the last 15 years or so, Todd has done holiday names? And it's been largely, we've gotten some good content out of it,
but
largely considered useless by many of us.
Yes. Because next Wednesday, Thanksgiving names. Ooh. Seton is giving Fritzy a t-shirt. Let's see what the t-shirt says.
We put the Thanksgiving names on a t-shirt.
So it's
Larry Bird. Jack Ham.
There's a shadow of a turkey behind it.
And on the back of the shirt a little bit, it says, the Dan Patrick Show, it says, Happy Thanksgiving.
Don't encourage him. Oh, my God.
That's fabulous.
Tim McCarver.
Matt Holliday.
And it's an XL, which I can squeeze into, I think.
There you go, buddy. That one's yours.
That is awesome.
Not after Thanksgiving.
No, I'm borderline XL now. I don't know what's going to happen after Thanksgiving. I'll have to put at least one more X on it.
Next Wednesday, Thanksgiving.
Next Wednesday, next 25th of November.
Next Wednesday, Thanksgiving-related sports names.
Yes.
You've been warned. You have been warned. Yes, he...
Larry Bird. But that's my favorite part is that you have to read the shirt in the way Todd says the names.
Kevin Gravy, Washington Bullets.
No, Kevin Gravy.
Gravy. Kevin Gravy. Here, Mitch Kupchak and Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld.
No, here is the requirement.
It has to be a real name. You can't say that. It'll knock out 85%.
The player has to be, the athlete has to
have
played.
Don't do that.
It's from 2000 on.
That makes it very difficult. Do you have to do that?
Because you're stuck in the 80s.
I'm stuck in the
80s. Your life is stuck in the 80s.
I understand that. But in the history of sports, if there's a cool Thanksgiving-related name, that person should not be blown off just because they're not in the 2000s.
Daryl Cranberry.
It's going to be good. It's fun. Good, clean fun. I need some enthusiasm out of you, out of all of you.
God, you drain me. You too. You drain me.
Billy Green Bean Salad. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out.
No,
I'm
not sure if that's on the list. Daryl Green Bean Salad.
There you go. All right.
You're back.
It's serviceable.
Oh, God.
I'd say it's great.
Stop.